Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I am the Good Shepherd. Of all the images that the scriptures give us of Jesus, that one, that image of the Good Shepherd, it says it all, doesn't it? The Old Testament scriptures is where it began, this reference to God as shepherd. Over and over in the Old Testament, it's God, the Lord, Yahweh, who is portrayed as the tender shepherd of his people, his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Here, in this image of shepherd, the whole gospel is summed up for us, and we truly see the misericordias Domini, the mercies, the steadfast love of the Lord, the name for this Sunday in the church year. So when Jesus comes along and declares himself twice to be the Good Shepherd, it's no small claim. Very simply, he is claiming to be God, the Lord, Yahweh, the shepherd of Israel and of all who believe in him. This gospel picture of Jesus, it sums up all that Jesus did and all that he does and all that he is, even that he laid down his life for the sheep. This claim of Jesus to be the Good Shepherd then depends on Easter Sunday. Because if the Good Shepherd laid down his life for the sheep not to take it up again, then you and I have no shepherd, only the memory of one. And that will not do you any good when the wolf comes, when the devil, the world, and your sinful nature attack. You and I have no chance of survival in a world with a dead shepherd. But because Jesus laid down his life for the sheep and took it up again on Easter Sunday, he is able to be for you and for me just what he says. And he wants you to know him that way, now and always. Jesus wants to be known as the Good Shepherd. To know Jesus as the Good Shepherd means to know him as the caregiver of sickly sheep. I am the Good Shepherd, he says, and summarizes all that he is and does with that word. And then he says, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And there he summarizes everything that you and I are in that one word, sheep. Sheep are not rather intelligent, not very trainable, very prone to wander and go astray, unable to care for themselves, utterly dependent on someone else to take care of them and protect them and lead them and guide them. So we're sheep. But it's even stronger than that, this image of sheep. What kind of sheep does the Good Shepherd care for? Remember what Ezekiel said about God and his shepherding of his people? I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. The sheep for which or for whom the Good Shepherd shepherds are not the sleek and the strong, but the lost and the straying and the injured and the weak. These are the ones Jesus shepherds. These are the ones he goes out looking for, cares for, heals and helps, not just once to get you all better, but always and for the rest of your life. These are the ones for whom the good shepherd lays down his life and sacrifices all for weak, sickly sheep. Christ would have us know and understand his kingdom not as a tidy, well-ordered, nice-looking sheep pen full of beautiful, strong, pious Christians, but rather Christ would have us view his kingdom as a hospital. A hospital all the time for sickly sheep, for weak sheep. In the future, in heaven, all of God's people will be sleek and strong and sinless. But here on this earth, Christ's kingdom is nothing but a hospital for sick people, for weak people, sinful people who are too often rude and self-centered, people who are weak, too often offensive toward others, too easily offended by others, for people who will never in this life be perfect. It doesn't make it okay to be imperfect. It just means you have to recognize what it means to be imperfect. In his mercy, Christ then calls out to those who recognize how very imperfect we are and calls you to repentance and faith, not once to get you all better in this life, but constantly. Constantly to recognize in yourself your sickness and your need for a physician. That's another beautiful image of Jesus. He calls out to you constantly to look to him as the good shepherd, whom you don't just need once and then you're good to go, whom you need to shepherd you always, whom you look to as he who did lay down his life for the sheep, for sinners, for you and for me, the good shepherd who stared the wolf in the eye. And when all hired hands abandoned you, he said, "Take me and let these go." And gave his life and then took it up again so that he could be for you and for me the shepherd to shepherd you for all eternity, which includes applying the medicine in his hospital of his Holy Supper to you. Never in this life consider yourself to be so healthy that you can ever check out of Jesus' hospital. He wants you to know him as the shepherd who is the caregiver of sickly sheep. To know Jesus as shepherd is to know him as the one who knows you. "I know my sheep," Jesus says, "just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." There is no pretending with Jesus, no pretending by saying the right things on the outside that you're a good, pious Christian, but then on the inside, really trust in how good you are for your salvation. You can't fool him that way. And you don't have to prove to him by your prayers and good works that you really do deserve to be a sheep in his fold. He knows you. He knows you already. He knows your faith. He can see it. He doesn't need proofs. He knows and sees your faith. He knows and sees all the good works that always flow from that faith, both the good works that are done in the sight of all and the good works that are done in secret that no one else in the world can see or can know. He knows. He knows mothers too. Here on Mother's Day, I told you we'd talk about it a little bit. He knows mothers who trust in him. With all your flaws, with all your weaknesses, with all your dedication, with all your sacrifice. He knows you. He knows how much you can handle and how much you can't. He knows your guilt and your shame, both real and imagined. And he laid down his life for you, not just for your children, but for you. And has branded you and your children with his name in the waters of holy baptism. He knows you. So to know him as shepherd is to know him as the one who knows you. To know him as shepherd is to know him as both Savior and example. My sheep know me, Jesus says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. For all their sins and all their weaknesses, Jesus' sheep know that no sin is too big to be covered by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And that's big. To know Jesus as Savior is to know that his blood is precious and covered all sin, the sins of every sinner, even for those who don't believe in him. His blood is precious enough. So to know him is to believe in him as the one who covers your sins. Jesus' sheep hear the words of this old book called the Bible and yet know that that's their shepherd's voice speaking to them, the truth. His sheep know the voice of their shepherd who speaks to them through called shepherds whom he himself has placed among you, not to injure you, not to harm you, but to shepherd you. His sheep know his leading. His sheep know that he leads through the valley of the shadow of death, through every hardship and through all the pain. And even though sometimes that knowledge of your shepherd is clouded by fear and pain and loss, the shepherd's voice always breaks through. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's right. I know the good shepherd. That's the voice you know, the voice of Christ, whom you've known all along. Jesus' sheep know him as their faithful and reliable Savior from sin and from all the consequences of sin, even death and the devil. But to know Jesus as shepherd is also to know him as example, as the perfect shepherd in whose very steps we would follow, because he's the good shepherd. We don't see him as the bad shepherd or the evil shepherd or the shepherd that we would never want to be like. On the contrary, we know him as the shepherd whom we want to imitate in all things. He doesn't lead us with a club. He leads us with a shepherd's staff, and his sheep know him as the one they want to follow. That means knowing him as the one we want to follow, even if it means suffering. Remember Peter's words today. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Finally, to know Jesus as shepherd is to know him as the one shepherd of the one flock. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The sheep pen, when Jesus spoke these words, was the nation of Israel and the believers in Israel. The other sheep whom Jesus had to seek, were those Gentiles who would believe in him and know him as their good shepherd too, so that there would no longer be two divided groups or flocks or three or more, but one. One flock with one shepherd. It's easy for us to forget that as believers, we are part of that one flock that is so much bigger than our little church here at Emmanuel. We're part of that big holy Christian church, the communion of saints. As confessional Lutherans, we have to recognize that the doctrine that has been passed down to us from our Lutheran forefathers is not a new doctrine of a new or different shepherd, but the same doctrine of the same Christ given to the apostles, preserved in the ancient church and again in the Lutheran Reformation. That's our doctrine, the one doctrine, the one gospel of the one shepherd, because we're part of the one flock. Now it's our turn to confess the whole gospel of Christ and to confess it rightly. Now it's our turn to speak the gospel of the Good Shepherd and trust Jesus when he says, his sheep will listen to his voice. He's not an incompetent shepherd. His word is not weak and powerless. It certainly doesn't need our help to make people listen. Jesus' voice breaks through to his sheep and always will. He gathers his flock and he does it perfectly, and wisely, and amazingly. This Good Shepherd Sunday this year happens to coincide with Mother's Day. It doesn't always happen that way, but today it does. So moms, take comfort in this. You have the high calling of speaking the word of this shepherd to your children, either in your house where you have daily responsibility to do that, or someday, or even now for some of you, when you don't have the daily opportunity to do it, but you still pray for your children. You pray that they'll be in the flock of that good shepherd. Christian moms are wholly dedicated to pointing your children to the Good Shepherd, bringing them faithfully every Sunday even to church, to Sunday school, later to catechism classes, listening to their memory work, living in your homes as pious and devout Christian women, showing your children what it means to be loving mothers and submissive wives. But don't ever get it in your head that you become the Good Shepherd. You wouldn't want that job. Don't try to take it. There is one Good Shepherd. And you, for all your trying, for all your prayers, for all your faithfulness in bringing children to the Word of Christ and the sacraments of Christ where He promises to come to them, for all of that, you can't bring them to faith. You can't keep them in the faith. That's the job of the Good Shepherd. Your children are His. Sheep of the Good Shepherd and members of His flock. He will care for them even as He cares for you, even as He cares for all of you, whom He has called by His gospel to be known by Him and to know Him as He wants to be known, as your Good Shepherd. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.